Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back, farmers, to the Lucky Die. Before God started dying, and before we ever met our heroes in Discora and Kino, folks went about their everyday lives, dealing with ever-present threats, managing wayward children, and reveling in seasonal celebrations. We return back to a familiar farm, and follow the pursuit of those trying to party hard. Who are these adventurers on the farm? How hard will they be able to party? And what will the farmer do if she catches them? I guess we're about to find out, as we welcome Andy Lyon from Tabletop Roulette and Tian from Proud Sky Productions to the annual New Year's game of the Lucky Die.
So basically, you guys are cheeky little goats, and you want to party. The problem is, the only party that is being held by humans and halflings and other people who don't want goats there ruining the fun. But screw them. You guys are going to get in and have the best time of your goat lives, which means y'all are playing goats. So... we begin our tale just north of the Hillsbrad footsteps in the mountains, where we pan in the camera to a little farmhouse where it's currently middle of winter. There's a light snowfall coming down. It's probably about just a little past morning. And there is a woman and a bunch of children currently outside tending to the animals and the fields, trying to take care of any last minute farm handwork that needs to be done before the snow starts truly coming down. It's not very long before the woman heads back into the house and starts getting herself ready. And on the way back out, she starts yelling, "Girls! Girls, now I need you all to..."
No, V, don't give me the faces.
I'm giving you that face because you're going to make...
I'm going to make you do this.
Fuck you, man. Fuck you.
You knew this was coming.
Continue. I knew this was coming, but I didn't expect to be here to have to listen to this too.
I'm doing my best impression here.
It's Grefception.
Girls, now you get yourselves ready. We're going to our party in last hour, and you get your butts in here, and you get yourselves ready. No, Cassie, get your clothes on right now. We need to get going.
And one by one, the girls all scurry into the house to get themselves ready. The youngest girl stops by the goat pen, where there are three goats just happily hopping around. And she says to them, "We're going to be going to the party now in town, so we'll see you later. Bye!" And then she scurries inside. Now, looking at these three goats, who are you? What do you look like? What kind of goat are you? Tell me everything about your goats. Let's start with Andy.
I will be playing Goat Gref, so called because he looks like Gref and also has, according to the children, about the same level of intelligence. He is a big-horned goat, which means he's good at fighting, and his favorite goat thing to do is headbutts. He is a gray goat with, like, big ol' horns. He looks like a goat. I don't know how to describe goats.
How majestic is your goatee? Your goatee?
My goatee is... It's like I'm gonna say like an 8 out of 10 on the majesticism scale.
Oh, damn. That's pretty good. All right.
Goat Gref is a dapper motherfucker.
Dapper and beefy. And Tian?
My goat is Mirabelle Peppers, and she is a pygmy goat. So you can expect to see her to be, you know, obviously on the small side, very small side. She doesn't even reach her knees, and she's this nice fawn cream color with like a red blaze on her head.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to do?
That's a good question. Let me see. I'm going to roll for this. Let's see what it says.
Do it.
Standing on top of stuff.
Okay, you stand. You like stand on top of stuff.
I love it. It's because I have a height issue, and I want to see above people's heads.
Sometimes okay. She likes to feel tall.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, most times, I just don't reach there on my own. All right. Let's see. Do I have to do the what do you have to do for or at the party thing? Are we still rolling for that part?
If you'd like.
Cool. So, apparently I want to steal a bunch of canapes and give them to my mom. Aww. That is my goal at the party, apparently.
Okay. So just keep that in mind when we get to the party.
Sure. Awesome.
And our last goat, V.
I am going to be a... my goat is called Escape. Don't ask what the E stands for. I am a white and black goat. And my favorite goat thing to do is to make a mockery of physical and meta barriers.
Oh, okay.
Mirabelle approves.
V, what type of goat are you?
I'm the fainting goat. I think that's what I said I was going to do.
Fainting. Okay.
Yes, I am the fainting goat. Yes.
All right.
This is how I make a mockery of all barriers.
Gotcha. Maybe you're probably my assistant in crime because you'll faint and I'll stand on you and get up higher. Yeah.
This is a hell of a team.
Oh, my.
I should probably pick what I'm doing at the party, right?
Yes, what would you like to do?
I will follow you in the 1d10 situation. 10. Recreate Die Hard, your favorite film and only thing you've ever heard of. I want to recreate a story I once heard from a theatre that got blown up by an actual cannon despite having magic to make a cannon sound, and it was called The Fucked Four. Thank you, David and Mark, for this.
Okay.
And it was...
We just need a cannon.
What did you want to do at the party?
I also rolled, and Goatgraf would like to give a speech thanking the host.
Oh, no.
God damn.
Okay. All right. Good to know. So, for the listeners, we are playing a game system called Goat Crashers. I will try to provide a link to put in the episode description so that if you would like to, you can see it for yourself. But yeah. So, after a little bit of time, the grown woman and the group of children all come out wearing very nice looking but simplistic clothes, jackets over these nice, pretty dresses that they're wearing. And one by one, they begin making their way down the worn dirt path trail leading towards the town down below. As the mother is the last to leave, she just turns to the group of you, the young goats in the pen, and says,
"Now, I don't want no trouble out of y'all tonight, right? You gonna be staying in that there pen until we get back. No misbehaving." "That's what I thought. Now we'll be back in a couple of hours. You behave yourselves."
She turns around and begins making her way down the path. The three of you are left alone in your pen. Now, I don't know about you three, but I'm pretty sure that being left behind while everybody else goes to this fancy party is not cool.
No, that won't do at all.
I'm already trying to climb up.
How are you doing that?
I'm standing on top of Eastcape.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, kids, what we got, as a pun, by the way, what we got to figure out is, are we going to have a party with the humans, or are we going to have a party in the ass?
In the what?
In the ass. And, like, with, like, their non-existent thumbs, they, like, point back at the house.
Oh, I was just going to go steal food from the kitchen. But I want a party, too.
Well, a party with no other people around ain't no good.
All right, then. Now, we just got a jailbreak out of this pen.
Okay. Can you move closer to the gate escape? I'll try to escape.
Yeah, that's getting old. All right.
So escape is going to like run to the middle of the pen and then just go full pelt at the gate with the idea that I can stop just at that right point so that the little I want to say Pepper. It's not. Is
her last name is Pepper. Bell Pepper. Mirabelle Pepper?
Bell. Cool. So that like Bell just flies over the top of the gate.
So you're trying to catapult Mirabelle.
Yes, I'm goat pulting Mirabelle.
Okay. I'm just going to put a dice into the chaos pool already.
I'm ready for this.
Okay. In Me that too. Case, then, I need both of you to roll 2d6.
Do I not get additional d6 since I'm making a mockery of a barrier?
Actually, both of you, because of the fact that Escape, you are mocking a physical barrier, and Mirabelle, because you are standing on top of Escape, both of you get an additional 2d6.
With successes on 4, 5, and 6?
Correct. Anything?
So we just need to tell you how many successes we have.
Yes. So for every 4, 5, or 6... counts as one success.
All right, so I have 3 successes.
I have 2.
Okay. You go charging full pelt at the gate and just stop just short, causing your ass to essentially fly up into the air, launching Mirabelle over the gate. Mirabelle, you go tumbling through the air and then land on your feet on the other side of the gate.
You hear...
I'd rather not.
All right, so we have Mirabelle on the other side of the gate. You two are currently still inside of the pen.
I have a question now. As a knee-high pygmy goat, mm-hmm. how far away am I to, like, the door latch?
Considering you are quite literally the smallest of the goat types, it's probably a good, like, 3 feet up.
Oh, this might not have been the greatest plan.
Stand back, I got this. And Goat
You got
Gref,
this, Goat Gref.
Goat Gref is going to crack his neck to the left and the right, and then just charge at the... like the gate and try to headbutt it open.
Okay. Roll 46 because you are using your favorite thing to do.
That is a whopping one success.
Okay. Oh, no. You full pelt charge at the gate and slam your horns into the gate itself near the hinges. There is a solid cracking sound, but the gate is still holding.
I immediately faint. It's a really loud noise, okay? And I was just by that gate.
Okay.
You collapse onto the ground with your legs locked into position.
Everything's going exactly according to plan.
Okay, do Go I see any, plan? Like, barrel or crate or something on the outside that I can push into position and, like, climb up and grab it?
There are hay bales that are conveniently stacked nearby.
Okay, wonderful. Can I roll them closer so that I can climb up and do that?
Yes. Roll 2d6.
Don't worry, I'll give this a try over here. Two successes.
Okay. You hop up onto your hind legs and start very slowly... pushing and rolling these hay bales over to the gate.
Awesome. And then once I get into position, I'll climb up and undo the latch, letting everyone out.
Okay. You grab onto the latch and are able to just pull it open, and the gate swings partially open. It seems like it's jammed now due to the partially damaged hinges, but you two are able to kind of squirm your way through. All three of you are now out of the pen.
I am dancing on the pen.
I loosened it up for you.
It looks more stuck now.
Well, see, that's just because you don't know how gates work.
Oh.
It's okay. I think Mama Gref will probably fix it.
Do you think she's going to yell at us tomorrow?
Nah, be fine. Be right. She's not gonna yell at us again, right? Right?
She does, she'll get a good 1-2.
I'll hide behind you.
That's what I call my horns. The one on the left is 1, the one on the right is 2.
I thought you said it was the other way around before.
No. The one on the right is 1 and the one on the left is 2.
Yeah, that's what... Okay.
That's what I said.
Uh-huh. Can we go party now?
Yeah. Does anyone... I only came here as, like, a little sproglet, so I don't really know, like, where the town is. Anyone know where we're going?
I have a question, though. I'm supposed to steal cannabis from my mom, but who's my mom?
Mama Gref?
Okay. I'll bring some back
Nobody
from Mama
Gref.
Nobody
questions this. It's just Mama Gref.
What's her name, V? No, we're not doing this.
Mama Gref.
Mama Gref, yeah. So wait, you're going to the party that Mama Gref is at to steal canaries for Mama Gref.
Mm-hmm. Then she'll know I'm sorry for... Maybe she won't yell at me.
You broke her gate.
I didn't break it.
Yeah, why'd you go and break the gate for?
Yeah.
That was you.
Like, if you broke the gate, you should get the things. All right, okay, so...
Let's go, it's party time.
You know where the town is, right? You know where we're going?
It's that way.
Yeah, I agree. It's there. Totally that way. Yeah.
Do we follow their footsteps? Direction. I see footprints. Are we supposed to follow?
Belle's like way smarter than we are.
Well,
hey, there's footprints here. We should follow those.
Mm-hmm, that's what he said.
There is a light dusting of snow.
Come on, Belle. I'm just going to like shove my head under where Belle is so that you can climb on top of
me. Yay! You feel like the hooves dancing on you.
No. Ow. Okay, if you're going to do it, go down a bit. Lower back. There we go. Lower back. Thank you.
Clap.
All right.
So the three of you begin making your way down the path, following the footprints in the snow as it is slowly building up now.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of snow? I might not be able to walk in it.
That's all right. I can walk in it as long as you don't make too much noise and frighten me. Otherwise, you know, Goat Griff will have to pull us both home. I mean, you're strong enough, right, Goat Griff?
Yeah, I can do that.
So yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
The path down from the mountains into the town is a good travel, probably about half an hour to an hour walk, depending. With the snow especially, it's probably leaning more towards the hour. It is a bit of a distance, and there are quite a lot of trees between here and there. What are the three of you doing as you are making your way down?
Chewing on Escape's ear.
Why would you do that? That's my ear.
Yeah, but it tastes yummy.
No, it doesn't. I accidentally once dropped my, like, I fell. I accidentally passed out into the feed and I accidentally got food stuck in my ear. One time, Belle, one time.
Well, I'm just checking to make sure you didn't do it again.
Well, I haven't. My ear. Can we at least get your tongue out of my ear? It's super weird.
Well, you've got
that's
another
where
one.
All the good stuff. Well, that's where all the good stuff tends to hide, though.
I just... all right, just do it once and be done with it, all right?
Give it a little wiggle.
Oh, gross. Oh, no, I didn't sign up for this. I tell you what, why don't you go hang out on Griff? Griff's like... Goat Griff is way bigger than I am.
Hang on.
And I just kind of charge into Goat Griff and like fall onto him so that Belle get transferred.
Aww. I protest very badly, scrambling to get back on.
It's okay. I've got all kinds of food in my ears.
I don't want it. I stay impossibly still. I'll walk.
No, the snow's far too deep for that.
Can I ride on your head?
Well, I don't see why not.
Okay.
You've been warned. Belle likes to chew and lick ears. Just let you know, bud.
No, I'm chewing on the horn now.
Okay.
Make sure to keep it nice and sharp for me.
You got it. I'm actually making it more dull.
I'm gonna take the lead because this whole ear thing has made Scape feel like I don't know. You know, like when someone drops like an ice cube down, you're like, it's like that for a little while.
Okay.
To be fair, I'm not sure Goat Graph really knows the difference between dull and sharp, so.
As long as it hit good. Okay. As the three of you are continuing to make your way down, you can hear not too far off to your side, just a little bit of ways into the forest, what sounds like cracking and crunching, and you can feel a little bit of vibration in the ground beneath you. What do you do?
Oh, it must be other goats going to the party. Hello! And I'm going to make my way over there.
Are the two of you staying behind?
I will follow after Scape.
Giddy up.
Scape probably needs some protecting, and Goatgraf, like, puffs his chest out. I don't know if that's a thing goats can actually do, but...
Sure, we'll go with yes.
Goatgraf certainly can.
I'm taking some liberties with goat anatomy tonight.
I'm going to hop on you and be like, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up.
Okay. The three of you go off of the road into the woods just a few steps. And you can see making its way towards you is this very large hulking creature. Very large spiny bone-like protrusions coming out everywhere. Massive tail. All of it covered in bone. Glowing, piercing red eyes that are just looking around, and you can hear every step it takes. There's a cracking and crunching of the ground beneath it, of the wood. Where it steps, you can see steam coming off from the snow.
Nobody told me this was a costume party. We don't have a costume.
Scape, I'm scared.
What's that?
I'll go find out. And Scape is going to go forward a little bit to meet the creature. Hello.
Are you attempting to mimic human speech, or are you saying this in goat?
Oh, clearly in goat. Like, otherwise I'm going to, the only voice I'll be able to imitate is Mammographs, and I'm not doing that twice in this episode.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. The creature looks down at you as you start bleeding at it. And it lets out like this deep growl and raises a big bony claw in the air.
I immediately pass out.
Roll 46.
You made it sound scary.
Roll 46.
Three
successes?
Yes.
Okay. It stops before it goes to swing its claw and seems confused, thinking maybe you're dead.
I definitely don't move.
Just slowly reaches down and goes to pick you up.
Can I headbutt its hand away?
Sure. Roll 46.
That's three successes.
Actually, this is considered fighting and you're headbutting something, so 66.
Still four successes.
Four successes?
Oh, wait, no, three. I'm bad at math.
Three. Okay. You come charging out of the bush with Mirabelle clinging on to you for dear life as you slam your horns into this creature's claw and it, like, recoils away and looks down at the three of you now and lets out this loud roar and then starts stepping towards you.
Unhandscape foul creature. Which is, of course, in goat. So assuming this thing doesn't speak goat sounds like...
I like how it's just completely non-confrontational.
I can't do angry goat noises.
It's just screams. Just a...
What does the goat say?
So what are the three of you doing? There is a giant creature... That is
was it walking on two legs or four?
Two. It is bipedal.
How tall
two
is
giant
it?
Claws, big ass tail.
And bony spikes everywhere.
Yep.
Does it look appetizing?
You think you can see some meaty bits underneath the bony protrusions? The bones themselves might be good to chew on.
Okay, I'm going to try to climb on it.
You're going to try to climb on it?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to climb all the way up to its head and stomp on its eyes.
Okay, roll 4d6 since you're trying to stand on top of stuff.
That's two successes.
Okay. You start jumping up and climbing and hopping from one bony protrusion to the next, trying to get to the top. And it starts trying to, like, shake you off, and you're trying to hold on for dear life. You did not meet the total successes. You need someone else to help you.
Help.
I stand up. I run at its leg like I felt Goat Griff do, and immediately pass out onto it, hopefully knocking it down.
You're trying to collapse into this thing to knock it over.
Yes, yes. Like, the Scape's plan is to run into it and knock it over, but what Scape actually does is run into it and pass out on it, hopefully knocking it over.
Okay.
To trip it.
Let's say 66, since we'll consider this a physical barrier.
Yes! It's a barrier to us getting to a party. Oh, guys. Oh, no, folks, that was one.
Don't get stuck.
Out of six?
One success. Yeah, and it was a six.
Oh, no.
Don't get stepped on.
Go, Griff, get the other leg.
You tumble into it, and it seems a little off balance, but it's starting to shake viciously, and Mirabelle's barely hanging on.
Go, Griff, go, Griff.
Go, Griff, go, Griff.
Can I ram it?
Yeah. You want to go for the other leg?
Yeah, Goat Griff does one thing, and apparently not particularly well, but he sure does do it.
All right, hit me with a 66.
That's three successes.
Why are we doing
three successes?
This?
Okay. Between the three of you, with Mirabelle hopping up onto it and distracting it, and Goat Griff and Scape both tackling each of the legs, it lets out this loud, like, as it tumbles backwards and slams into the ground with a loud thud.
Run!
It is currently scrambling on the ground, trying to get back up, and currently swinging wildly.
I want to grab Belle and keep her from getting smushed.
Okay.
Like, pull her out of the way of any of the wild swinging.
Easily done. There's no roll needed for that.
I was gonna get him. I was gonna get him.
I think we should hoof it, folks, and just leave.
Okay. Whatever.
Y'all are gonna run away?
Whatever Scape says is best.
Yeah, Goat Griff will follow Scape.
Okay.
Right, yeah, yeah. I'm going whichever direction requires no barriers.
Right.
That way.
Yeah, we're going the painted that way.
Okay. In that case, I need each of you to roll 2d6 as you attempt to essentially sneak away from this thing so that it doesn't chase after you.
One.
Two.
I got nothing.
You just barely are able to barrel through the brush and run back towards the path and very speedily start running down the pathway. You can hear the cracking and crunching of trees behind you, but it slowly fades into the distance as you continue running away. And after running for a little bit, you can hear what sounds like people. Not very far off. You can see trails of smoke coming out of chimneys. You can see houses not that far down the road. And you can see that there is a bunch of people that are making their way towards this big, grand town hall. You can hear that there is music drifting on the wind towards you from this building. There are a lot of people on the streets that are making their way there. Right now, you're very out in the open. You're still a little away from the town, so you're not blatantly out yet. What would you like to do?
So what's our strategy to get in there? I don't think they like goats.
What if I pretended to be a dead goat? No. Scape can pretend to be a dead goat and put her inside a tray thingy and a lid on top, and we can pretend she's food.
Wait, what? No, I don't want to be kebabs.
Not kebabs. Just like roasted whole.
I don't want to be roasted. Look, I know you have this thing about licking and eating me, but please, no. I don't want the humans eating me.
It's only pretend.
I mean, Mama Griffin's already got her eye on me, and I feel like my time is coming.
It's only
Timmy's
pretend.
Timmy's already gone.
It's only pretend.
I don't think a human's going to stick their tongue in your ear.
I hope not. I don't want to be like Timmy. Ah! And then I pass out.
Okay, good. Now that she's like that, we can just totally do it.
Yes, this is a very good plan.
Okay. So the two of you drag Scape to the side of one of these buildings, where conveniently placed is an empty tray and a small trolley, let's say.
Cool.
We load her up.
I put an apple in her mouth.
Okay.
That's what I see people do.
It's a proper...
Like, I open my eyes, I realize I'm laying in a metal tray with an apple in my mouth, and immediately pass out again.
And okay. I whisper to Scape, this is for you to eat later.
Goatgraf puts an apple in his own mouth.
Hey, that was mine.
I spit it out. Oh, you can have it back.
Oh, gross.
I look at it.
There's a little bit of snow on it.
I roll it around in snow and then eat it.
It's cold and refreshing.
Yes.
And only a little bit of slobber on it.
What? I spit that part out.
The two of you begin wheeling the Trojan scapegoat towards the town hall.
There's usually a little like shelf underneath the trolley. I'm going to hide inside of that.
Okay, so you're hiding inside. So, Goatgraf, you are the only one out. Are you attempting to disguise yourself in any way, or are you just going to wheel this up?
I will... How much snow is on the ground?
It's been building up slowly, so there's probably like an inch or two at this point.
Is there enough that I could roll around in the snow to try to make myself look like a snowman?
Sure. Let's
I do that.
You look like a snow goat. Snowman goat.
A totally inconspicuous snow goat pushing a tray of food.
Goat.
Okay. You start wheeling this tray towards the town hall as you're pushing your way through. There is occasionally a child that'll go, look, mommy, look, there's a snowman over there. And mom will just be like, oh, yes, dear, that's very cute. Let's go. We need to go into the party. We're going to be late. You continue pushing forward. At the entrance, you can see that there is what looks to be like maybe a local militia or something like that. Just a middle-aged human, little black beard, and wearing simple leather armor, has a shoddy-made looking spear in their hand, is just standing at the door and sees you, gives a weird look, and then nods and gestures for you to head inside.
I give him a bro nod as I pass through.
Stepping inside, you can see that the town hall has been cleared out for this party. All of the tables and chairs and all of the books and paperwork and everything has all been pushed to the side and covered up and blocked off. Instead, you can see that there are a lot of these tables that are covered in platters of food. there is music being played from a band on a slightly elevated stage towards the back. There are people everywhere milling about, talking. You can see children running around, having fun, laughing, screaming. And you can see as they begin unveiling some of the different food trays so that people can eat, you see roasted pigs. You see what smells like some sort of maybe beef. You even see what you think is a whole roasted goat with an apple stuck in their mouth already.
Oh, Timmy.
Goat Gruff rolls the tray over to where the food is at.
Okay.
I would like to come to at this point.
You come to with the face of Timmy roasted with an apple in their mouth, just staring at you with dead eyes.
Poor Timmy.
Well, I guess it was Timmy or us.
Okay, I'm going to get off now. I'm going to jump off the platter.
Okay. You jump off and hide underneath with the others. People are... You can hear people coming over to the food tables and just grabbing small platters of food. And at one point you hear someone go, well, that's really weird. I could have sworn there was supposed to be something on this platter here as well. I guess people already ate it. My goodness. Thought we had a good harvest this year. All right then. Have this other
someone
goat right
ate
here.
That already! You hear Scape yell from nearby under the table.
Roll 2d6.
Two successes.
Ooh, I'm sorry, V.
Boo!
There are dice in the chaos pool.
Boo!
You yell that, trying to distract the people away from it, and instead you hear, "My goodness, was that a goat? I heard it. I heard bleeding. What, darling? Come here, honey. Is there like you see? They start like lifting some of the table covers, looking around. Like I could have sworn I just heard bleeding. It's not the cooked goat on the table. There's got to be might be a runaway animal somewhere around here."
I grab hold of Goat Graph, who has, I assume, Bell on top of Goat Graph, and just, like, charge through. You know, like, if there's loads of the tables, you can probably run underneath them.
Uh-huh.
And use... Yeah, we're doing that. We're trying to get away as quickly as we can.
But food.
I just want to
food. But food. We were just where the food was.
Yeah, but I didn't have the canapes or whatever it is you're after. There's no canaries here.
What?
I think we got rumbled. I'm sorry.
Graf, I need you to
I panicked.
Roll 2d6 for me to attempt to escape the prying eyes that are trying to find you all.
That's one success.
Okay. You start charging underneath the tables, trying to get away, running between the legs, and in a very comical fashion, your horn gets latched onto one of the legs as you go running by. And you kind of do a twirl around the leg as your momentum just carries you forward and back around.
Uh-oh.
And you hear, I think I just heard something bump into that table over there. I think that might be where they are. Let's go look.
Oh, no.
I heard a goat somewhere around here. I heard that bleeding.
I faint into the table, knocking it over. And out of the horn.
Pick her up.
Roll 4d6.
Yes. That is two successes.
You knock into the table, and it's a very heavy table. There must be some good food on top, too, that's just weighing it down. You slam into the leg and pass out, and instead kind of come tumbling halfway out from underneath the tablecloth. And you hear, I see a leg sticking out over there. That must be it. Quick, someone get it. Grab it. Go.
I'm going to try to run in the opposite direction and bleeding very loudly in a very small voice.
Okay. Roll 2d6.
Oh, two successes.
Nice.
Can I opt to dive into someone's purse?
Sure.
Cool.
Mama Gref would totally have a purse. Like one of those big, like, purses that just have everything.
Like
in
a tote bag purse.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she doesn't even bother with these small ass purse things. No, she has like seven girls running around. Like, she needs a big ass purse.
Mama Gref's got the fucking Barney bag.
Okay. You. You start charging in the opposite direction, making these faint, small bleeding sounds. And the person that was going after the leg under the table said, "Must be over there. I hear sounds. Quick, quick." And you go diving into the nearest purse and just bury yourself inside. And you can hear from just outside of the purse here.
"Now, what's all this noise? My goodness, this party is out of control. What is happening right now? There are so many people, so many noises running around."
I take this opportunity to run away from Mama Gref.
Okay. You slip back under the tables and start running away.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything edible in this purse?
I don't know, V. Is there anything edible in Mama Gref's purse?
Always. Like, what if they get hungry on the way down? What if the kids need sustenance? What if they come across a person starving in the snow and Mama Gref thinks that they should have something to eat? Mama Gref will have something.
Awesome. They have like two rations left or less. I'm just eating. I'm stress eating right now.
There were the canapes that she had brought
to
the party. Yep,
I was about to say, you start munching down and realize these are canapes, or canopies.
I know.
Canaries.
Canaries, yeah. We'll say that there's still some left in here. She had like four rations worth of canapes. I don't even know what the fuck a canape is. What the fuck is a canape?
I don't know.
I'm looking it up.
Are they like little cracker type things with like stuff on top?
Oh, no, it's those dainty little weird-ass hors d'oeuvre things. They're like a little cracker and like...
It's, yeah,
yeah,
fancy
they're finger
rich
food.
People food.
They're hors d'oeuvre finger
yeah,
foods.
Buffet finger food, yeah.
Mama Gref had Pigs conveniently had some finger foods in
she
her purse because...
She probably was taking it home to eat later.
They're in a little box or a little bag that she has specially for this.
Ah. Huh. Well, there's I ate the whole bag. Ribbon and plastic and all, or cloth and all.
Okay, you are eating everything that's in the bag right now.
I'm not pulling that ribbon out of your butt. No way.
Ew. What are the other two of you doing? You're currently hiding under a table.
So, I don't remember. When you described the scenery here, is there some sort of, like, stage or centralized location?
Yes, towards the back of the town hall, there was a slightly raised platform where there was currently a band that was playing some music.
Goat Gref would like to try to sneak his way over that way.
Okay.
Like, dodging through people's legs and just generally, like, he's trying to be stealthy, but I imagine it doesn't work very well.
Make a roll for me. 2d6, please.
That's one success.
Okay. The chaos pool is in your favor. You are able to kind of slowly weave your way through this crowd without drawing attention to yourself, and are able to make it to the foot of this stage where there are currently several bards who are playing some merry tunes on various instruments.
So my goal here tonight is to give a speech thanking the host.
Uh-huh.
So Goat Gref would like to climb up on top of this stage and... Well, I don't know. I think his main goal right now is just get on the stage and draw attention to himself.
Easily done. How do you draw attention to yourself?
I think, Goat Gref sees the bards playing their merry tunes and thinks, "Oh, that looks easy. I can do that." And he's going to walk over and just, like, nudge them and bleat in their direction to ask to play whatever musical instruments they are playing.
Okay.
In goat. Because clearly everyone speaks goat.
Right. I need to look something up.
I bleed at Mama Gref and she gives me what I ask for. Granted, what I ask for is always food, but...
Otherwise you can't be a big, strong goat.
Exactly. Oh my god, they can. Okay, they can. All right. That answers the question I had. You start nudging at one of the bards that's, let's say, playing a lyre. And they look down at you and like, hey there, little friend. What are you doing in here? Hang on. You know what? I got just the thing. Hold on. And you see him start strumming away on the lyre a bit. And there's a little bit of warbly magic in the air. And then the bard looks down at you and in perfect goat says, what are you doing here, little friend?
Oh, you speak goat.
Well, of course I speak goat.
This is good news. Everyone should speak goat.
What are you doing here? This is a party for people.
Well, goats can be people.
But she's not a big people like us. You're going to get in trouble, you hanging out here. Goat.
You don't even have horns.
No, I don't. I'm a human.
Humans would be better with horns.
You know, I heard that before, but all the people with the horns is across the sea at the other continent. We're not allowed to go there, though. That's a bad place.
Well, I came to this party so that I could... Well, I don't really know why I came to this party now that I think about it. But it's a very nice party. I should tell the host that this is a good party. That's what people do at parties, yes?
Among other things, sure. That's very forward-thinking for a goat such as yourself.
I've been told I'm very smart for a goat.
I'll take your word for it. You want to tell the mayor here, you want to tell him thank you for the good party, is that it?
Does he speak goat as well?
I'm sorry, he don't speak goat, but I can translate for you.
I'm just imagining this poor guy talking to a goat and then talking to the mayor.
He literally can cast Speak with Animals. It's a bard spell.
I know. It's just... I'm imagining some guy coming up and just being like, this goat has a message for you.
Listen, I didn't say this story was going to be super coherent.
It falls in line with all the other New Year's stories.
Exactly. It's not supposed to be coherent, just stupid and fun.
Well, yes, I would like to thank the mayor for inviting us to this fabulous party.
I got you, hang on. And then in human, you hear, Mr. Mayor, could you come over here for a second? We got a situation going on. You see this rather rotund-looking human start walking over, wearing his best tux outfit, very sloppily done bow tie. Looks like he kind of struggled putting it on himself. And just comes over. Now, I say, what's going on here? What seems to be the problem? My word, is that a goat? Why, yes, it is, sir. Apparently, this here goat wants to have a conversation with you and say some things. All right, little friend. He starts talking to goat again. Little friend, what'd you want me to be saying to him?
Well, first I would like to thank him for inviting us to this wonderful party this evening.
He translates.
No, please. Please translate.
I'm not... No. I'm not echoing. I'm not echoing. I'm sorry. Are you telling me that this goat is talking to you? Why, yes, sir. He's quite a talker. Let me tell you, he's quite interested in saying thank you for having him here for this party. I didn't know that you invited him, but Well, I most certainly did not invite this. What is it? Does this goat belong to anybody? You see the mayor start turning and addressing the crowd.
Oh, no.
And you can hear faintly across the room. Graf! Go, Graf, is that you?
More importantly, is there anything shaped like a cannon nearby?
Shaped like a cannon?
Yes.
What a bizarre question, but yes.
Well, my thing is Die Hard, but thanks to shadows at the door, there is now famous plays where they blow up parts of the theater with a cannon. I would want to know if there is a cannon to succeed on my goal too. Or something shaped like a cannon.
Sure. There is... No. A ballista? It's kind of cannon-like.
Inside the building.
A ballista.
It's partially dismantled.
It's the indoor ballista.
It's the holiday ballista.
Oh! It's the ballista that, like, you can set off inside and it showers down like confetti on people.
Ah.
It's a decoration.
It's a festive ballista.
Nightmare. Yes, it's an indoor festive ballista.
for the winter it's the winter solstice ballista.
Yes. When I hear Mama Gref yelling at Goat Gref, there are too many Grefs in this game. Goat Gref.
Goat Gref, Mama Gref, actual Gref.
Yeah, I see that my other pygmy companion isn't here, that my goat gref companion is on the stage, so I'm going to run over and release the ballista in an attempt to create a beautiful, sparkly, confetti-shaped barrier between goat gref and mama gref, because I feel like goat gref is going to be the next Timmy if he's not careful.
Okay. I'm going to make a suggestion to you.
Yes.
So part of the game, part of the rule set for Goat Crashers is once per session, you can do something which is called party hard. Basically, any dice that are in the chaos pool get taken out and you get to roll them. So you embrace the power of chaos.
In that case, no, that's not my goat! Party time! And then I'll go release the ballista.
Okay. You unleash the ballista and party hard doing so. In which case, roll... I have 2d6 in the chaos pool.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't fall under either of your things, so roll 4d6. And I have to take those dice out.
I have 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4. Okay. Would either of you like to help in this endeavor?
I'm still stuck inside a purse eating and trying to put on clothes.
I feel like you're still in a better position than me because I'm literally surrounded by the mayor and some bards.
Okay.
You could make the bards stop playing music because we've just released Party Time.
Start screaming goat metal.
Yeah.
And Goat Gref starts headbanging.
Yes.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Roll 46.
That is 3 successes.
Nice.
Okay. Okay.
And I can't oppose.
There's no
good.
There's no dice in the chaos pool right now, so I can't oppose it. You start riling up the bards to start playing music and start screaming and headbanging. And everybody starts getting really into the groove of things. Is this strange metal music playing and this goat, maybe, that is just riling up the crowd. And before you know it, a mosh pit starts forming of people just slamming and jumping into each other and just, yeah, woo! This is the best party ever! Woo! The mayor's trying to get everybody under control. Please calm down. No, no, we don't need the... Oh, my goodness. You can hear children going, Mommy, Mommy, what's happening right now?
Kids, girls, kids, you get back here right now. I tell you, we are not taking part in this. You get your butts back here, and we're going to go home to some savory fun back at the farm. Not this shindig that's going on.
I worm my way out of the purse at this point, having put on all kinds of weird, like, spare clothing that she had for the kids.
You're wearing a very pretty pink polka dot dress.
Awesome.
And have, like, a sun hat on with the little flower on top that you probably ate off.
Well, okay.
Important question. Is Belle on her hind legs pretending to be one of Mama Gref's kids?
Yes. She is. She is definitely doing that and, like, sidling away, trying to, you know, sneak by inconspicuously.
Okay. I need you to roll 2d6.
I feel like Mama Gref's tired enough. She might fall for it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, she did have 8 younglings, but she might, like,
lose count. Hey, the mosh pit is happening.
Uh-huh.
She might have lost some of the kids there.
Roll 2d6.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of her kids now canonically looks like a goat.
It is
apparently
one
Gref,
success.
They named it Crowgref.
I'll take one. One is fine.
Okay. You start slipping away into the mosh pit as Mama Gref turns like,
Honey, no, honey, no, no, don't go in there. Nope. You get your buck back out here right now. Good Lord. Children, you girls stay here. I'm going to go get your sister out of that mosh pit.
You see Mama Gref start going into the mosh pit, swinging left and right.
We can't have this. If it's a mosh pit, I'm going to try and get Belle, and I will run up to the stage and faint off of it so that I can be, like, crowd surfing across to where Belle is so that I can get out of Belle.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard. I love it.
Roll 46 to mosh to crowd surf. This is fucking stupid. Why did I say yes to this?
Well, you didn't know I was coming, so that is 2 successes.
Okay. You grab the others and then faint with them into the crowd, and they start pushing you along over the mosh pit, get carried out to the back. As you can hear somewhere in the mosh pit, you hear,
Girls, girls, where are you? Get out of this mosh pit right now.
I think that's our cue to leave.
Yep.
Well, we need canapes. Crap, we need your canapes, right?
I
just
be
really angry
all.
At you for breaking the gate.
Yeah. I have some that I spat out.
Oh. It's like a half-chewed canapé.
Where did you spit this out? It better not be on my ears.
It's on your head. Oh. You have a hat. It's pretty.
It's a finger food hat.
I do. I do have a hat. Thank you.
We match.
I assume the three of you start making your way back.
Go, Gref, before I pass out. Just make sure we get home and don't let them turn me into Timmy.
I promise you won't meet the same fate as Jimmy.
No, Timmy. Oh, Timmy.
Kimmy.
Kimmy. Oh, I miss all of them.
It's a good thing none of us have the same sounding name.
Rest in peace, Zimmy.
Okay,
Aethor
we should
is going
scram.
To kill us. Aethor is going to kill us.
Yeah, he is. I love it.
the Gref family is very uncreative when naming their goats.
He's going to hate the fact that you decided to call him Goat Gref. I'm so excited for him to hear this.
Oh, it'll be good. So the three of you start hoofing it out of the party hall.
All Are three you kidding of you, me with that pun?
Yes.
You just had to horn one in there, didn't you?
Uh-huh. I'm screaming into the abyss right now.
I mean, we can't go to a whole session without one.
A scream into the abyss? You asked for this?
It would be bleeding wrong if we didn't do it.
You guys can't be for real. Okay.
Okay, I'm done.
These are getting pretty bad.
Okay.
An hour and a half, and we finally had the bad joke. Thank you, Andy.
Welcome.
We make our escape.
Yes, you make your escape. Running back up the trail as fast as you can, heading back towards the farm, as there is still the chaos unfolding below you.
I put the canopy back in my mouth for safekeeping.
Okay.
Please stop licking my head.
You have a mohawk.
You've licked my hair into a mohawk.
A goat hawk.
Yes.
You go running back up the mountain and see what looks like a path of devastation going through the woods. You can see that that big thing that you encountered must have crossed through the path and just kept stomping its way through the woods.
Well, I wonder what did that.
Yeah. I mean, they've missed the party. They missed all the cool stuff.
Well, I feel bad for them now. Boss.
You're going to need to spit that out.
Take your tongue out of Scape's ear and try again.
Plat. I have a canopy in my mouth. How?
That was just all you wanted to tell us? All right, great. Okay. Cool.
Making your way back up.
There are tears falling down Scape's face as, like, they're beginning to, like, freeze in the cold temperatures up here as my hair has been licked into a goat hawk. And I'm covered in canopy.
Delicious. As you approach the farm, you can see that the gate is slowly swinging on its broken hinge. Just kind of... And you can see one of the horses just standing by the hay bales that you'd rolled over and just idly munching away at it.
We can blame it on the horse. I'm going to run inside and throw the canapé up onto the table and then run back into the pen.
Okay. There's a half-chewed, slobber-covered canapé. You're putting it in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to put it on a seat and not the table.
Because you can't reach any higher.
Uh-huh. And I also match Mama Gref's seat. Yes.
You put it on Mama Gref's seat?
Yes.
At the dining room table?
Yep.
I hate the voice I'm about to have to do for whatever happens to this thing, Sarge.
You're welcome. You run back out to the pen and head into the pen itself. What are the other two of you doing?
I'm going to make my way into the pen as well and attempt to use my horns to shut the very broken gate behind me.
I would like to speak to Artax. I think that was the name of the horse.
Was that the name of the horse? You would know better than I.
Aethon named them, and I think he named it after the Horse of Despair.
That's...
And he stole the one that wasn't Mama Gref's favorite, which was, I think, Artax.
Okay, so Artax. You Oi. Try to talk to Oi. Artax.
Oi, horse.
Yes?
Yo, so we're in a bit of a pickle, and
Mama Gref noticed.
Might try and eat us because we were a little bit naughty. We tried to appease her with canapes and stuff, but we kind of broke the inch. And she will never kill you or eat you because she loves you. Could you just, like, take the blame on this one?
I hop up and I'm like, I'll massage you if you do.
both of you roll 2d6?
Oh, 2 success.
Ooh.
1.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
I do like getting massaged. Your tiny hooves are good for that. Very well. Just don't try to do that thing with the ears on me.
What ear?
Hop.
That Ow. Thing. Now get in the pen. I'll close it behind you.
Oh, you're the best.
Thank you, you're the best.
I grab hold of Belle before they do any real damage and just like grab them on the back of the neck and just like pull them into the pen. And I set them on top of Goat Graph.
My legs were flailing. My legs were flailing. Ah, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best.
I know.
As the three of you.
I love Goat Graph.
As the three of you are inside of the pen, you see Artax just nudge the gate shut with their long nose, and they grab the hinge or the latch with their teeth and slide it into place as best as they can. And he just stands there and starts munching away on the hay again. And you can hear coming from the pathway, just very faintly coming closer, just.
And the end thing. Of the episode where I don't have to say anything.
No, we have to end it proper, V.
Oh, and another thing. You girls will never be going back to that town hall again. I'll tell you that for nothing. Anytime we need to have one of those parties, it's absolutely serious having a party there in this mosh pit. Unacceptable. I swear, my gods, we are never going to repeat. You better hear me, girls. I repeat, we are never going back down there for anything like that again. It's the last time we attend any of these, like, so-called holiday parties.
I just realized I still have the dress on, so I'm going to worm my way out of the dress and hide the dress.
Okay. You start burying the dress in some mud and snow, trying to hide as best as you can. Okay, you sit on it.
Like, I do that, like, thing where, like, my butt is sitting on it and my, like, two legs are just forward and I'm just looking, like, scared.
Don't faint away from it.
Goat Griff just lays on the ground in front of it just in case.
Okay.
I'm going to be on top of you like a pyramid. Yes.
We've got some real solid goat, like, solidarity going on here.
Yeah,
teamwork.
None of us want to become Timmy, Jimmy, Kimmy. Zimmy, or Limmy, Kimmy. Or Kimmy, yeah.
Don't forget Bimmy.
Oh, poor Shimmy. Do you remember Shimmy?
No, Bimmy's not in this episode. What do you mean?
Shimmy, let's not talk about Shimmy.
Let's not talk about Shimmy.
Yeah, don't talk about Shimmy. Shimmy was my best friend.
Mama Griff comes walking by the GoPen.
Well, I'm glad to see at least three of you are well-behaved and you stay inside.
Meh.
We're all just crying over our fallen goat companions.
She looks at the goat pen, the gate, and is like,
oh my goodness, what happened here? Looked like it got broke down almost. This hinge is almost completely broken off. What the? Was that you three?
And you just see Artax just,
Artax, was that you? Was that really you? You know you're not supposed to be breaking any of these fence gates like that. You get back inside the barn. Go on. Off you go.
You see Artax just kind of lower his head and start slowly making his way towards the barn.
I give him a goat thumbs up and tell him he's the best in goat.
Yes, yes, you're very cute. Very cute. Good. Good little Maribel.
Meh.
All right, girls, let's go back inside and get your butts in there and get that there stove on. We're going to have a proper supper now we're back home.
You see them all go inside, and there's a few minutes of silence, and then you just hear very loudly,
who put this half-eaten canopy on my chair?
I immediately pass out.
Goat starts headbanging again.
To the memories.
Hey there, guys. Arch here. Wanted to say thank you very much for listening to the episode. I know this was
definitely outside of the norm, but as has become our tradition, I like to run a special one-shot adventure in the TLD universe for New Year's as just a fun hurrah to the end of the year and a fun way to welcome in the new coming year. I know 2020 has been difficult for everybody, so it's good to have a nice laugh and enjoy yourself as much as you can in these times. As is usual for our outros, I need to give a huge shout out to one of our patrons, Tyler Ponder. Thank you very much for supporting us. It really means a lot. It's thanks to Patreon supporters like you that allow us to do silly things like this. If you guys could, if you really enjoyed the episode, just if you'd enjoy TLD as a whole, please leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher. I think Spotify has maybe anywhere that you can get your podcasts. If there is the option to leave a review, please do so. It really does help us out. It puts us in front of new listeners and helps us continue to grow. Last thing I need to mention is we have an ad that's going to be coming up after this for another podcast called Therapy and D. I definitely recommend checking that out. It's really interesting, the subjects that they cover. I'm not even going to try to cover it. I would say check it out for yourself. Beyond that, as I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, but just as a reminder, this game, Goat Crashers, was a one-page RPG. It's made by the same person that made Honey Heist and Sexy Battle Wizards. If you Google it, you can genuinely just find it on like the first result. I will send a link to Neil as well so that he can put it in the episode description. But yeah, either way works. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you all in the new year. Until next time, farewell.
So, Arch.
Hi.
You have a podcast you want to talk about.
Yeah, it's a new one that I just recently found called Therapy and D. With the little ampersand. So Therapy ampersand D.
So you sent me a message saying, hey, we should reach out to these folks and do an ad swap. It's essentially two nerdy nurses talking about mental health awareness and advocating all the good things that D&D can do. How did you find out about it?
I kid you not, I was browsing through Twitter, as I do, and I saw their name pop up because of someone retweeting something that they posted, and I was very curious on the name. So I clicked and I saw that it was a podcast, and I was like, okay, all right, let me look into it. And I listened to their first episode, and I was definitely interested, being somebody who has to deal with anxiety and depression on the regular.
Yeah, I feel that.
It struck home.
Yeah, I think the work that they're doing is really good because I've always felt for a long time that role-playing games are really good for exploring aspects and like dealing with stuff. So I'm really glad there's a podcast out there. So how often do they release? Where can we find them?
So from what I've seen, they release every Monday, and they're on all the platforms that you can imagine. Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts. I found them on my own podcatcher that I use on my phone. Yeah, they're pretty much everywhere. They do also have a Twitter and a Discord from what I've heard.
It's run by Zach and Jenna. They're both registered nurses and mental health professionals. So please go check them out because, yes, do it.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.